This weekend, we've had the privilege of having Stephen and Peggy Beverly with us, and we had a whole day to share with them yesterday, and it was just a really wonderful time. Carl and I got to share with them the night before, too, so it's just we've had a great time of getting to know each other, and it's been a blessing, and we're not done with that yet, because Peggy is going to be bringing the message today. God has put something on her heart to share with us, and we're just looking so much forward to that. And I know you'll be blessed, Peggy, if you'll come and share what God has put in your heart.
It's good to be here. This is something that I always like doing since we've been back and able to share with people, just to give them a little taste of what we do in Sri Lanka or we experience in Sri Lanka. So I'm going to give you a quick Sinhalese language lesson. I'm going to share a word with you, and I would like you to repeat it back to me, okay? Esema weva. Esema weva. Very good. So I'm going to say Subu Udasanak, and you respond. Subu Udasanak. Very good. Good morning. I said good morning, and you said same to you. Very good. I am Peggy Beverly, and this handsome guy right here on the second row. You're handsome too, Pastor. But this guy's really handsome to me. Is my husband, Stephen Beverly, of 12 years. Babe, would you stand it? And before we get started, we really want to thank Sunny Place and all of you for how much you have blessed our lives, our ministry. And we just have a little gift that we would like to give to the body, the church. Can you hear me okay? Am I too loud? So this is a cross. It says Jesus, but the big S. And we found pastors who are trying to support their families and their ministries. And so what we try to do is support them as well. And so we were able to purchase some of these from this particular pastor, and we want to present it to Sunny Place. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, I agree with Pastor Samuel this morning how the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I know that because the word says where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is in our midst. And I know that there are more than two or three in his name in this building. And so we are just excited to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. And, you know, it's great. We as believers are not just in the presence of the Lord on Sunday mornings, but every day of our lives, that he is with us. And it is a powerful name. The name of Jesus is a powerful name, so powerful that demons tremble at the sound of that name. You know, I'm a Lion King. I love Lion King. And you know how they say Mufasa, and they go, ooh, you know. We can call on the name of Jesus, and the demons tremble. They shy back, and they fear back. You know, and every knee, the word says, every knee will bow at that name. That wonderful name of Jesus. There's no greater name. So, Stephen and I, yes, we are missionaries in Sri Lanka. We have been there for about 3.5 years, and we are here in the States on home assignment, and prayerfully, before the end of the year, we will be going back. Our goal was to be leaving to go back in, at the end of October, and you know, God is still able. So we will be going back for another 3 years, and we are very excited about that. And again, I want to say thank you, Sunny Place family, for being a part of our lives, for being a part of our ministry. You have, through prayer, through finances, we just appreciate that. We couldn't do it without you. We couldn't be there without you. I understand that our theme for this month is, does anybody know? It's what? Ah, okay, you do know. It's inspiration. When I read that, so many people came to my mind, and I began to wonder, what am I doing to be an inspiration to others? Am I being an inspiration to others? Am I motivating others for good works, as they say in the Word? Am I encouraging or being an encouragement to others? Is Matthew 5:16 operating in my life? Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Am I walking according to God's plan, God's desire, God's direction? While going to Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was introduced to so many different missionaries from different parts of the world. I would sit on the edge of my seat with tears running down my face as they shared their stories and experiences about serving the Lord in a foreign land, how they were sharing hope to the hopeless, good news about Jesus Christ. My heart was being drawn more and more to the heart of God. Each of them inspired me to seek God's call for my own life. So, the title of my message is Answering God's Call. Answering the call of God for my life. And that's something that we all as believers should one day at some time seek God for. I mean, really seek God for. Because that's what we're called to do, serve Him. Amen? Amen. We're servants. We're His disciples. We are His followers. And that's what we're called to do. My main scripture, as it is, Isaiah 6:8. And it said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" I'm going to talk a little bit about Isaiah 6:1-8. I don't believe I'll be before you long. I'm not the preacher. My husband's really the preacher. But this portion of scripture is called Isaiah's Call and Mission. That's Isaiah 6:1-8. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to glorify you. We thank you for another day that you've allowed us to see. A day that we have never seen and a day that we'll never see again. So, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts on today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you lead and guide us. May everything that we say and do bring glory to your name. Father, we just ask that you would direct us on today, that you would speak through us. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, your body. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, stir within us, Lord. Reveal your plan and your desire for our lives. Lord, you said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Lord, in this place, we lift up your name. In our lives, Lord, help us to lift up and exalt your name, and that others will be drawn to you, to know you as their Lord, as their Savior, as their Deliverer, as their Healer, as the I Am that I Am, their Lord and Savior. Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, we give you honor, for you are worthy, you are worthy. We love you, and we ask, Father, that you have your way in our lives this day and in this service. I yield my heart to you. I yield my mouth to you. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, that you would speak on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, in Isaiah 6, it describes how the prophet Isaiah, through a vision from the Lord, begins his ministry for God. Now, you're going to hear me repeat a saying quite often, but I just want you to really grasp it in your spirit. In the vision, the Lord asked, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah's response was to volunteer for service. "Here am I, send me." In a vision, Isaiah saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Every time I read that, I just try to picture how that would be. I can't even imagine him being able to look up, you know, because sometimes when, I don't know if you've ever just felt the presence of the Lord and you just kind of humble, you know, you just, it's like, oh, this is just, I can't even describe it. But, and then not only was his train filling the temple, but it talked about the seraphim, and some called the seraphim, the angelic beings that were in that place, and how they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth. Holy, 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 Lord Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory." An awesome experience that had to be. A revelation that would tug at his heart in the midst of that. How he would see himself in the midst of a holy God. Just being able to be in the midst of a holy God. We know that this is a vision that he had. But in that, the Lord had a message to deliver to the nation of Judah, talking about Isaiah. And he expresses his desire for a messenger. In verse 8 again, Isaiah answers, "Here am I, send me." This marked the very beginning of his ministry. You know, before Isaiah could answer that call, though, he realized something about himself. Isaiah was made aware of his own unworthiness. Sometimes we feel unworthy, don't we? When it comes to sharing with others, or we feel, oh, I'm just not qualified, or I don't think I can do that. And he said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, recognized his sinfulness, his unworthiness. That's how he felt. And so, standing in the Lord's presence, Isaiah is made aware of his sin, and he is broken about it. You know, when we are aware of our sins, or when we become knowledgeable of, and we know when we do wrong sometimes, but we can come boldly to the throne of God at that time, and we can cry out and ask God for forgiveness. The Word of God says if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That once we do that, we are placed in right standing once again with our Heavenly Father, and we can keep going, serving Him. After Isaiah acknowledged his sin, one of these angelic beings takes a burning piece of coal from the altar, touches the lips of Isaiah with it, and says, "See, it has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Amen. Isaiah could not remove his own guilt. He could not make things right, or that sin that he felt that he had done or that he had done. Atonement is made possible by the altar, the place of sacrifice. And the purification is specifically applied to the point of Isaiah's sin, making Isaiah acceptable as a minister of God's word. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions for us. When we come to God and repent before him, he's the one that does the cleansing. We can't do it ourselves. Amen? So, Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. That atoning sacrifice not only provides salvation for the lost, but also cleansing for the believer whose sins have put him out of fellowship with God. God makes us right again once we confess our sins to him. So Isaiah was purged, and the sins that had made him unclean before God were taken away. It is only after Isaiah is cleansed of his sin that he says, "Here am I, send me." Prior to that point, he saw himself as an unworthy messenger. Once he was forgiven, he immediately desired to serve the Lord in whatever way possible. You know, I remember when I first got saved. And I mean, I was zealous for God. I wanted to tell everybody what God had done for me. I wanted to tell everybody about the love of God, how he poured into me. I knew, even before that, how the things that I were doing were not right. I was sinning against God. And you know what? I was a church girl. I grew up in church. But I did not know Jesus as my Savior. Even though I grew up in church, went to Sunday school, sang in the choir, can't sing, but sang in the choir, participated in all kinds of things, but I did not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I had not accepted him into my heart. And it wasn't until I went to college that I had friends who saw the direction that my life was going. Even though I sang in the choir, even though I was a director of the choir, even though I went to church, even though I led a Sunday school class, they prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. And God opened my eyes to see how I needed him to be my Savior. I was lost. I was going to hell. And I needed to be saved. And one Sunday morning, you know, sometimes we think we have to wait until after the message, or we have to wait till we're at church, or, you know, but God is with us all the time, whether you know it or not, whether you believe in him or not. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, as our sister said this morning. He's omnipotent. God knows, God sees. He's our creator. But as I was sitting in that choir loft, and that Sunday morning, we had a guest speaker, and he just said, "Somebody needs to know Jesus." Somebody had been praying for me. God was tugging at my heart. And when he said, "Somebody needs to know Jesus," I stood up and I walked to the front of the church and said, "It's me." I didn't know what to do, I've been in church all my life, but I did not know anything about how to know Christ as my Savior. So they led me to Christ. And after that moment, my life has never been the same. Amen. I've had joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm not saying that I haven't had my slip-ups and struggles and everything, because I did. We're growing. I was a baby. I was taking baby steps. First, I had to crawl. Then I was taking baby steps, and I wobbled, you know, just like a baby does. That's our spiritual walk. We are babies, and then we become toddlers, and then so there's a spiritual growth. And I could not wait to tell others about what happened to me. And what God meant to me, and what God was doing in my life. So after immediately after realizing he was forgiven, God had touched his life, he desired to serve the Lord in whatever way possible. The Lord asks, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Wants some willing volunteers in his service. Isaiah doesn't hesitate in taking the opportunity, "Here am I, send me." And for the rest of his life, I believe, Isaiah serves God who had forgiven and saved him. The Lord still has a message he wants delivered to the nations and to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. He is speaking today to you and me. I know many of you are familiar with this passage, Matthew. We even kind of discussed it on yesterday. Pastor opened up our OMG conference yesterday. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them. He spoke to them who? He was speaking to his disciples. Who are his disciples today? Hey, amen. Anybody, do we have any others? Any other disciples in that? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, go. Who's he talking to?
Us.
Go, therefore, and make disciples. Oh, no, wait, moment. Go, therefore, and make Christians. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Go, therefore, and make Christians. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Other followers, we're following, we are his students, and we are to encourage, inspire others to know him and want to follow as well and disciple others as well. I tell you, you tell him, he tells you, you tell him, and wow, how the body and the family of God grows, how the kingdom of God advances and grows when we answer that call. He said, go therefore and make disciples. He's talking to the disciples. Okay, you disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We have that commandment in the word. And lo, I am with you always. He didn't say, you go, and when you come back, I want to report. Or you go and report this. He said, I am with you. He's gone with you, and I can testify that when he tells you to go, many miles away, wherever you go, that he says go, but when you get there, he's going to be there to meet you. Walk right through there. He not only walks with you, but he's right there when you get there, wherever he tells you to go. It says, "But I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Look at the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. Many are lost and dying. Many are hopeless, and they're waiting to hear some hope. They're waiting to hear some good news. I was really encouraged and inspired. Brother Tim back there yesterday, he was sharing a part of his testimony, and he was saying how someone invited him to church here. And that changed his life. He started coming. He said, "Why?" But he started coming. That's okay. There was a voice that he heard that just drew him. But he started coming. Someone else was invited, I'm quite sure. How many were invited by someone to come to church? So I'm wondering how many, and I was. And how many of us have invited others to come? Great. Because that's where it begins. Maybe we don't know how to witness to them at first or anything, but if we can invite them to come, and that's our responsibility, that's one of our responsibilities as believers. We can invite them. That's the first step. That's, you know, so that's great. The harvest is, the scripture says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is ripe. We need to go. Stephen and I surrendered our agenda to God's agenda. Back in probably about 2012, after we got married, we knew that we were called to missions. We believed we were called to missions, and that's what we wanted to do. And as we went through the process of doing all that, one thing that God spoke to our hearts very definitely was absolute surrender. We had to surrender all to him. And I'm quite sure many of us just like, well, what, you know, I thought I surrendered everything. Gave me my heart, and, you know, and I'm doing this and going to church and everything. He said, surrender all to me. We had to surrender. Well, we sold almost everything we had, packed up, leaving family, friends, everything familiar, and we flew 9,000 miles away because we heard the call to go. We prayed and asked the Lord where he would have us to go prior to that, and that's when he placed in our hearts Sri Lanka. We are missionaries in Sri Lanka, like I said, and we've served 3.5 years. And we're going back because he's not finished with us yet, at least not there. And again, I just want to reemphasize how the harvest is plentiful. There's so much that we can do. God is calling. He's still calling today. When we are in Sri Lanka, you know, every time we walk out of our house in Sri Lanka, I'm reminded that the harvest is great. It's plentiful. Whenever I get in our little tuk-tuk to go someplace or a taxi, I'm reminded that the harvest is great. When riding through the streets of Nagumbo, where we live, or Colombo, the big city, a couple hours away, I'm praying for a revival in Sri Lanka, that many more will come to know the truth. Sri Lanka is an island nation off the southern tip of India. It's probably about the size of Maine, 22 million people, and 1% Christian. The harvest is plentiful. I'm praying and asking God to help me see as he sees. Give me his heart for the people that I'm around, that they too be delivered and come to know him as Lord and Savior and their household. That's possible. He's done it before and he can do it again. Fields ripe for the harvest. It's ready. It's waiting on us. Do we have a compassion over the crowds we see, our families, neighborhoods, on our jobs, while vacationing? You don't witness when you're on vacation. You're on vacation. At the grocery store, in our church, wherever your mission field is. And you know, it doesn't have to be in another country. He may not call you to Sri Lanka, Africa, any place in Asia. Right here in our hometowns in the U.S., it's a mission field. It's not just the pastor's job or the evangelist's job, the Sunday school teacher. As a believer and a child of the Most High God, we're each called to go into all the world, a harvest field. It's right. There are so many who are waiting to hear good news that Jesus loves them. Are we on mission for God? Are we doing maybe part-time and then our agenda the other time? Stephen and I, on this journey of absolute surrender, and we say we're on mission for God, it's a daily surrender, a surrender of our time, our talents, everything, good, bad, and trying to line up, God, what is it that you would have me to do today? Who is it that you would have me to minister to today? You know what? And it doesn't always have to be words. It could be a hug. It can be a smile. But tuning in to the Holy Spirit to see, what is it that you are leading me for to do today? How can I serve you today? Yesterday's gone, yes. Tomorrow's not promised. But today, how can we be a blessing to someone today? And when we tune in to the Holy Spirit, believe me, He will direct you. And sometimes He will direct you to somebody you don't even know, stranger. And you say, I can't do that. I don't know them and they don't know me. I can't do that. But God is directing you. You are the answer to someone's prayer. Lord, send someone across my son's life. Send someone across my daughter, my husband, my wife, my friend. Lord, send someone. Praying God, send someone to minister to them, to help them, to encourage them. And you could be the answer to that prayer, even though you don't even know it. I want to remind us, me too, I have to remind myself. I want to remind us that we have been called, we have been commissioned, we've been commanded, instructed, given authority with the promised help of the Holy Spirit and the assurance of God's presence with us as we go. What is even more exciting, like I said earlier, He has already gone before us. He knows. He has given us His word that is alive and powerful, Hebrews 4 and 12. And we, even though sometimes we do, we don't have to go in our own strength because He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, according to Ephesians 6 and 10. He has given us all the needed equipment or tools that are needed to accomplish the ministry assignment and our task that is set before us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God, through pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. We are equipped for the battle. You don't have to fear because He is all powerful. What did they sing today? What a powerful name it is. And all we have to do is call on the name, and He's there with us. He has shown us by example that whatever the assignment can be done, we are more than conquerors. He said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart," according to Jeremiah 29:13. I pray that you are inspired to seek God for the plans and purposes he has for your life. Serving God is an amazing adventure. Never dull. Exciting. It can be challenging many times. It can be hard. But he's growing us up in him, strengthening us as we go. He's teaching us, training us. We can trust him. He takes us to places that grow us up in him, that enlightens us to things we couldn't even imagine. I believe there are things in this room right now, the people who are in this room right now, God has so much more than you can even think or imagine for your life. We only see so far what we see. We go by what we see. But if we begin to step out on faith and trust God and say, "Lord, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you've called me to do?" And when you seek him, he's going to answer. "Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know." So I want to encourage you today to seek to know him with all of your heart. Allow him to reveal himself to you. And he, I know, is ready to invite you to join him in his work. God's doing, God's moving. Even if we don't, God is still moving. God is still calling. God is still touching. God is still saving. God is still delivering. God is still healing. God is God. And there's nothing too hard for him. God is calling. He's calling. He's calling you. He's calling me to go, to teach. He's calling us to encourage and to build up one another. Strong, strengthening the body. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. And these are not just my words. Those are the God's words. To encourage you, build you up, to let you know that he is for us. That's more than the world against us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.